Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to Trust Me, I Have a Beard. In this episode, I have a guest, actually my roommate, Becca. Becca, go ahead and say something. Don't say something, though.
Hey, everyone. I'm Becca, the roommate.
All right, Becca, well, where are you from?
Florida. Yep, definitely out of my element here in Colorado. It's pretty fucking cold.
Definitely, yeah. For sure cold. Let's see, I met Becca in St. Augustine in an apartment complex, and first you're a little bit standoffish with me, and then I think that you came to light. You realized I wasn't a bad person.
Because somebody else told me you were cool that I already thought was
that's
cool.
That's right, yeah. I got the endorsement.
The guy's pretty cool. Okay, my bad.
Yeah. So we met each other there. That was what, 2013?
No.
2014, yeah. Mm-hmm. 2014. And yeah. And then from there, I moved with my folks for a little bit, and then I went to England, then I came back.
And I moved also the same time Chris moved.
Yeah, you moved from St. Augustine to where, Apopka, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, Apopka. And you're doing what? You're doing a cleaning business, right?
Yeah.
Doing your own cleaning business.
In St. Augustine and Apopka.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth all the time.
How many total clients did you have?
I didn't have like a whole bunch, but yeah. The ones that I did have, I had for a while, and I was really close with them.
Super consistent and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paying you a little bit more money for working longer, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing them from years, I imagine they'd pay you like an extra $50 or something, right?
Yeah. Christmas was pretty nice.
Yeah.
But it was never really about the money. It was more about, I mean, the money was great, but.
Well, it was your only job, right?
Yeah.
It was sustainable.
And I mean, one of my clients, the first day that I cleaned their house, I came and I met her, and she had just brought her little baby, her newborn baby, Ananda. And I cleaned her house, and we just clicked. And mm-hmm. 7 years later, you know, I watched her kids grow up, and it was really hard to move out here and leave all that behind, like really hard.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Uprooting your life after you sort of stabilized it and got to know everyone.
And not only that, I was like a part of their family. I did everything they didn't have time to do as far as cleaning. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
honey-do stuff, like fixing a screen that popped out or just anything, you know?
For sure. Absolutely. Do you miss Florida?
I miss riding with the windows down.
Yeah.
And jamming in the car.
We got to do that today.
Yeah, my hand was a little frozen after, but, you know, it felt real.
Yeah.
Real cold.
Get that fucking wind right on your face. Get frigid.
It was totally worth it.
Nice. Good. Yeah, I don't miss Florida either.
I miss the beach too.
Definitely miss the beach.
I don't necessarily miss like swimming in the beach or beach activities. I just miss, you know, getting off of work when the sun's going down, rolling up, going and plopping my ass in the sand and just listening to the waves, and it's not too cold and you can just feel the sun on all of your skin.
Absolutely, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
I'm sure it'll be kind of like that in the summer, but I definitely miss the ocean.
Yeah, we're landlocked, absolutely, for sure here. There's some nice big old lakes, and, you know.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, we get some.
I'm going to find somebody with a boat and we can tube and pull our asses.
Something yeah. like that. The Colorado River is nearby, too.
Oh, waterfalls. There's lots of waterfalls next to the road route.
Yeah, whenever we see them, they're fucking frozen over.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and start opening up the show. Thanks everyone for tuning in and checking us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ETAcast. Hit that like button. You'll get everything and all things ETAcast, including the Techotastic podcast, the original ETAcast, the Did You Beat It video podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel that we're trying to push here. So go on YouTube, search for ETAcast, and you'll find the channel from there and hit that subscribe button.
Super cool.
Make sure you do that too.
Becca. I did.
Good.
I did. As soon as you told me to, I did.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for tuning in and whatnot. And I am happy to have a guest on the show. Yeah,
thank you, Chris.
For sure. Yeah.
For making this Monday a lot more interesting.
It's President's Day.
It is.
Happy President's Day, President.
All the presidents.
Yeah, all of them.
Everyone.
Did you know that whenever the president like leaves office, he's indicted in what's called the President's Club?
Oh yeah.
Did you know that?
Did Do they get like cigars and vagina?
They go on like special missions and stuff for the current president.
Oh, really?
I swear.
So it's like the president's bitch club?
Essentially, yeah.
Cool.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on and talk about the news articles of the week.
Oh my God.
These are...
Please do that guy first.
I don't know. We're saving that one for last.
Okay.
That was the last one.
What's the first one?
One's going to be about...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's talk about the news articles of the week here. And trust me, I have a beard. All right. So if you ever leave the United States and go to a different country, you just go to Mexico or go to Canada, and there's stick shifts everywhere. Manual transmission cars everywhere. It is a standard. However, here in the United States, I've always tried to tell people, especially the UK and the British people, I always told them, it's like, you know, the reason why we drive automatic cars is because we're constantly doing something behind the wheel. We're constantly eating something.
True that.
Sipping on our gigantic fucking 60-ounce.
You can't really text when you're trying to drive a stick shift. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous to say. But
I can't twirl my hair either.
But needless to say, I mean, obviously in the UK there are automatic transmission cars. It's just more relevant that there are stick shifts. So in the United States, when you get a majority of people that use automatics, and let's say your parents are using automatics, they don't know how to drive stick shift, they teach you how to drive. You're not going to learn stick shift unless your fucking buddy from high school teaches you, maybe. But, or you look it up online and you interpret it yourself, but even then, you're pretty much gonna get automatic car.
Yeah.
If your parents.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just how life rolls.
It's safer.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I guess.
Well, no, I wouldn't say safer, but I don't know. It makes the parents more comfortable, I guess, that they're not gonna have another distraction of.
Yeah. Well, that and you know, like I said, the parents don't know how to drive it.
Oh yeah, true. You know,
they can't teach their fucking kid. You know, so inadvertently you get generations that just don't know how to drive stick shift at all. It's a fundamental thing, and I think it should be a required thing when you get your license in America, because
yeah, if you ever have to steal a car because like a zombie's chasing you.
Well, that, and let's say your fucking friend has a heart attack or something.
Oh,
and,
wow, that's really serious.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't drive stick. It's like, what the fuck? I died because you can't drive stick?
Nice to know you, bro.
I'm starting to have a stroke. Can you drive stick?
I cannot.
No, I'll start calling the police right now, though. We're in the middle of the desert.
Help me.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I can't get it out of first gear. So this article kind of suggested that as,
some,
you know,
little punk ass kids.
Well, kids and just really, you know, just really just, you know, just criminals in general. Just like 30-year-olds or whatever.
Yeah.
So between 2011 and 2015, there's 7 different cases on someone trying to steal a car and they don't know how to drive stick and they just leave. All right.
Oh.
Damn. All right. So let's just go through a couple of these. June 2014, 3 teens allegedly tried to carjack a 70-year-old woman at gunpoint, then give up when they couldn't get the 5-speed to move.
Oh my God.
So it's fucking 3 of them. So they're probably like alternating, like, oh no, you try, bro, you try, come on.
Granny's probably like, these dumb little fucking kids.
Yeah. She's standing outside her car watching it stall out. I'm like, I can't wait till I can drive home. Let's see, January 2014, 3 men allegedly try to steal a car from a food delivery driver at knife point. Then give up when they see the manual transmission, settling to get away with only some stolen dinner.
I was about to say, give me fucking pizza!
Let me get something, let me get that chicken! It's like, dude, that's my chicken. It's not even the store's chicken.
I would have stole the sign. Put it on the next vehicle I tried to steal.
Oh, here's a Colorado one. February 2011. A gun-wielding Colorado man attempts to steal a woman's car, then gives up, but he can't get the vehicle in gear. It's just so ridiculous. Here's the one that I wanted to tell you that I was bringing up. 2 teens in Houston allegedly tried to carjack a vehicle, then end up forced the driver to give them stick shift lessons at gunpoint. They don't get it, and they end up fleeing on foot. Fucking holding it.
That guy's lucky he didn't
he's
get
like,
shot.
He's like,
for real.
Dude, you just bring your leg up a little bit. Can I just show you? No, you can't show me, motherfucker. You can't show me. Tell me how to do it.
Because lucky. Yeah. Shoot him for bad directions.
Oh, nah, for real. What is one of those things when you first start learning it, it's like so foreign. But once you get it, it's like tying your shoe.
I'll tell you something crazy. I've always had like really bad nightmares.
Yeah.
Sometimes like when I'm in my dream, I have to steal a car.
Because I'm in them.
Yeah,
I'm actually, no, I'm actually in them. I'm like Freddy Krueger.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, I had a dream. I knew the concept of driving a manual car, but I never did. And I used to have dreams all the time where I'd have to drive a car that was sick. Yeah. And I did just fine. Like, I even stalled out in my dream. And anyway, one Christmas when I was like 18, my mom, she got me a little Dodge Neon, and it was stick shift. Mm-hmm. And I hopped in and I drove it. She didn't have to teach me. I didn't stall.
Wow.
The only time I stalled, for the first time that I stalled, it was when I was backing up on an Indy.
That's crazy.
Very crazy.
My mom was like,
how the hell do you know how to do this? Who's been showing you how to drive? I'm like, no one. I just, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it is one of those, well, it's almost like the dream gave you the information of how the stick shift works.
Yeah.
And then you applied that.
It was crazy though, when I got it, it felt like so familiar because of my dream. I mean, it wasn't just one or two, it was like a lot of dreams.
Sure,
I was always fascinated by stick shifts too. I'm not as big of a car freak as you, but I like having that control and going really fast.
No, it's so nice. It's nice to, you know, like be able to downshift when you want to, like get up a hill and shit. Yeah, I mean, my car relies on it more so because at a certain RPMs, the turbo's kicking.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're at 2,000 RPMs, my turbos aren't kicking in at all. So you need a downshift. All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I learned stick shift when I was 16, I think.
Yeah.
Mark taught me. He was actually really terrible at teaching me. And then I think he, like, we took a break. And then I just got in the car and I ended up like driving it, you know?
Fuck this guy. Got pissed.
No, he was teaching me like fundamentals of how to do it, but like you could tell he hasn't done it in a while. He was stalling out himself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was like big time stalling. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, it was fucking great. It was good fun. And then I remember my first time driving by myself legitimately, like going out of the neighborhood. I was so nervous, like going on the highway. Like, I'm going to stall out. I'm going to stall out. Everyone's going to get mad at me. You know? I didn't though. I would always over rev it.
Yeah, like, that's because you're like. Yeah. Especially at downtown St. Augustine, all that traffic, people are walking. You're just pretty much like revving it the whole time. Like, try me, motherfucker.
Yeah. Now I know exactly where the threshold is. But yeah,
well, when you first start, you drive the same vehicle too. Like if you're hopping in several different.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is a show about cars. This turned into a car show.
Carcast from ETA Cast. No. All right, yeah, let's move on from this article. If you have a manual transmission car, your car is probably not going to get jacked. If it does, God doesn't know how to drive it.
And props to you for knowing how to drive a manual car.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks. Because if I have a heart attack, you can jump in my car and drive it.
Yeah, he might live.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into our next article. This is a good old Florida article. It's where you're from, Becca.
Yeah.
Oh, Becca.
Hey, I know this guy.
No, you don't.
I don't, actually. I'm surprised I don't, but I definitely don't. I don't
fucking know this guy. He's got like razor on it. He's got like, you know, you razor his.
Oh, yeah.
What is that called again? When you just add like little notches in your eyebrow? I don't know.
Gangsta, that's what it's called.
All right, so headline. Fired Burger King worker takes it out on uniform. Ooh, kind of buried the lead a little bit.
Yeah, they did.
Kind of buried the lead. All right.
Here we go.
This guy is not happy in this mugshot, that's for sure. Ugh, what an idiot. So a Burger King worker apparently wanted to have it his way.
He did.
He wanted to have it his way, all right. He allegedly flame boiled his uniform. So I guess that means he took his uniform off.
He put that shit on the grill.
Put it on the grill.
And flame broiled it. He put his essence in every meal that came out that day.
Yeah, so he decided to flame broil his uniform, and that's just really fancy for him just putting it on the grill, right?
He's 24.
24 years old, Timothy Ortiz. I don't know what his crime is. I don't know.
Yeah, and he had the balls to do this in Palencia.
Plenty is a big,
it's
big
the
dick.
Big dick, yeah. Yeah. Total big dick neighborhood. Everyone golfs. Everyone has like, you know, $1 million or more that lives there.
Yeah.
So.
We talk about their yacht.
Oh, yeah. So this was a big deal, guys.
Gotten several arguments with his manager and customers. And customers who saw what happened and called the police and called the sheriff's office. Oh my God.
Like, what if they called the Burger King King? And he's like, what the fuck is going on in here?
Yeah. Okay, it says he wouldn't let himself be handcuffed and he tried to evade a stun gun as well. This probably.
Oh my gosh, no way.
This was written at 9 a.m., so this is probably like during the daytime.
Man, breakfast?
Having that breakfast.
Their bacon, egg, and cheese croissant.
He's like, fuck this, manager. You don't know what I'm gonna do? He's like, are you gonna quit? I'm gonna quit, and I'm gonna fucking flame broil my goddamn uniform. They're like, what? He's just watching him take it off. Like, don't do that. Tim, don't do that, man. Tim, I'm gonna have to call the cops if you do that. He's doing it. I don't know what to do. I'll call the cops. Yes. Hi. Yes. 911. I guess it's emergency because, you know, there's people hungry here. And Burger King himself would not fucking like this shit. Can you guys get out here? Because this motherfucker is burning his uniform on our equipment.
God.
Oh man.
I don't even know like how where else to go with that. I mean, it doesn't even really need to go any further, guy. He just and you know what they mean by flame broil. Have you ever seen like the press?
Yeah, it's the press thingy.
So he must have taken it off and put it on there and then pressed that motherfucker down to flame broil.
He's just having a rant. How do you guys like this shit, motherfuckers? Squeezing
it, mushing on it.
His manager's like billing for $40 for the t-shirt.
So
fucking hell. Tim Ortiz, you dumbass.
Anyway, that's my hometown, guys.
good old Florida. There's a documentary coming out called Weird Florida. It's about how weird Florida is.
Yeah. Do you think I'm weird? He does. He paused.
We're all a little weird.
If you guys could have seen the way he looked at me. Thinks I'm weird.
We're all strange and weird.
You are.
So what, man? Okay, I'll say it right now. At the end of the day, when no one's around, I'll fucking...
No, it doesn't matter if anyone's around
If it's inside my own house, I will pick my boogers, put them all on my nose...
No,
collect them.
On his finger.
My thumb.
Let me tell
how to do it. Yeah, go ahead.
He sits on his computer and he's dicking around.
But I'm using
it. Jamming on music. One hand in the nose and one hand on the mouse or wherever. It doesn't get contaminated, so don't worry.
Yep.
Well, he'll sit there for about 15 minutes, chicken away and collecting until he has like this bubblegum wad size of booger on his thumb.
Yeah, I'm done.
And then if he doesn't try to wipe it on my face, he goes and washes his hands.
Thoroughly.
Like, we're talking two layers of skin come off thoroughly.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, he does. It's really not that bad.
I don't like blowing my... Hey, here's my justification on this. I save toilet paper.
Toilet?
Yeah, because, you know, people blow their nose and shit.
Oh, no, you just, like, scrape the inside of your nose.
I gotta get it out. I have to get it out.
You should use... Actually, I would get it done in one go.
Get up in there. Why the fuck did we start talking about that?
I don't know, because you started picking your nose.
No, I didn't. You fucker. I already got that done for yesterday.
No, it's not time yet. The sun is still up.
No, that's... I do it twice, okay? I do it twice.
Okay.
Before I go to bed and right when I wake up.
All right.
That's basically how it rolls.
Your story. Oh, you were talking about how people are weird.
Yeah, everyone's weird.
I called you Booger Boy, and you were like, oh, let me explain myself.
I don't care. save the trees, pick your nose.
Yeah, everyone should practice this tonight when you're playing your game, you know, Fallout 4, whatever it may be.
Yeah,
use that one free hand and just
multitask for a second.
See how many you can get the first time and then comment to it.
I'm telling you, when you pick your nose, sometimes I'll get things that are like 6 inches long.
What?
Yeah, and just rip them out. And
that's probably just coming from like the back of your throat.
I know, it feels so good. When you get those fuckers out.
All right.
It's like alien goo.
So Burger King and boogers.
Yeah.
Flame broil Burger King boogers.
That's right.
In uniform.
Yep. This is a great episode so far.
You think so?
That's why I like having the guest episodes, because, you know, it's, I don't have any control over it. I don't have any control.
Oh, boy.
I don't have any control how bad you are.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. No, you're doing great. You're doing great, Becca. Hey.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into our topic of the show, Becca. Cool. This is why I wanted you here.
Yay.
Not talking about St. Augustine, Burger King, flamboiling.
Okay, all right.
Let's talk about...
The guy made a mistake. Let's move on.
Yeah. I'm sure he's regretting it. Why did I do this?
There's probably a lot of people that are without weed right now because this guy decided to flip his shit.
Yeah, he was the dealer.
Flip his
YouTube. He's got to be the dealer. Yeah,
he looks like it.
Yeah, he does. Damn. Anyways, the topic of the show is entitled The Full Circle, pertaining to relationships and which, how they're formed, your curiosity when you're interested in someone, how do you approach things, this, that, and the other, right? What are you laughing about?
Nothing, just like...
How many proper relationships?
Like this intro is setting me up for failure because I really don't have a lot of great things to say about past relationships.
Well,
but I have a lot of things that I've learned about new relationships.
There you go.
Not only with somebody that you were supposedly in love with, but friendly relationships and relationships with your family and children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Co-workers.
And that's what I'm saying. Don't label it just with the, you know,
yeah,
two people.
Well, I still suck at that kind of stuff anyway.
Well, I want to talk more about like your past and how you came to be from, because you're a mom.
Yeah.
AJ's almost four?
He's almost four.
Almost four.
Yeah, his birthday's
talking his head off, starting to realize that there's a sky up there and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And obviously you're not with his father anymore, but you're also with other people too, and you didn't have a kid with them, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, how does the timeline of going into relationships and going into, you know, I don't know your ex's names. I'm just going to give some names. Bob, Tim Ortiz, huh?
Tim is my dad's name.
This and the other. What changes when you would either break up with someone or someone would break up with you and then you enter a new relationship? What would necessarily change in that new relationship?
Oh, like what would happen to affect my future relationships and
yes,
my past relationship?
Yes.
It made me kind of really standoffish and bitter.
Yeah.
I automatically, and I know you've talked about this before, but definitely assumed anyone with a penis just sucked really bad.
Uh-huh.
Also, I learned a lot about myself too. I'm a very giving person.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily expect anything in return, but because I'm so giving, it becomes expected of me over time. And every time I end a relationship, I always have to like keep that in mind when I start a new relationship. I don't want to like overdo it and then put myself out there and be disappointed.
Sure, yeah.
You know, having an expectation of somebody, and it wouldn't necessarily be their fault because, you know, I didn't say, hey, I'm doing this for you, so you have to do something for me. But just mm-hmm. expecting it and not getting it, you know, relationships are full of empty like...
Expectations, yeah,
for sure. You always assume someone's gonna, or you want them to act a certain way when you do things, and then
you might get mad when they don't.
Yeah, or yeah, not even mad, but just disappointed, and it might,
yeah,
it might affect your relationship, and you wouldn't even know just by the way you're acting.
Yeah,
you know, I'm so disappointed, but I can't say, hey.
So I guess my main question is, did your other relationships, did it ripple down to when you got with AJ's father, you realized, hey, now I want to have a kid?
No, that's not what happened at all.
No?
No, before I met my ex, I was with another guy, and I was really young, you know, I was stupid as hell. I was 16, you know, uh-huh. I got kicked out of my house.
Mm.
My boyfriend at the time was like this punk rock guy with a mohawk and tattoos, and I was just so blinded by the whole idea mm-hmm. of him.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I moved in with him and he was living with his parents and we got our own place and he was just a piece of poop. Mm. He always yelled at me and like he never had a job, only like for short periods when we worked together. I supported him in hotel rooms for like 2 years and you know, I always paid all, I did everything. And he cheated on me and you know, at that point I just tried everything I could to make him love me because I was stuck in the situation. I didn't have a child, so I wasn't necessarily thinking like an adult.
Yeah. Well, you thought it was like an end-all be-all because you invested.
Yeah. And I mean, we had been together for so long. I think I was like 20 when we broke up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was with him from 16 to 20, and that's a long time when you're that age.
Yeah.
And he was also
older. You're morphing into an adult.
He was older than me as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had a lot more things going on because I wasn't in school anymore. You know, I was working my ass off. I was young, so it was hard for me to get a job, a good paying one even, you know?
Yeah.
And we ended up breaking up and I had like 3 months. And then my ex, my son's father, we used to work together. And I came across one of our mutual friends and just got his number. And it was never really anything serious, but he was exactly the opposite of my last boyfriend. He was so calm and quiet and mellow. And eventually that's what like tore us apart because he couldn't show his emotions at all. But
at the time it was like very alluring.
Yeah, it was. He was so quiet and
refreshing almost.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I ended up, I don't even know how it happened, but I ended up getting pregnant. And I mean, sex was not a big part of our relationship ever. So
you guys just went with it, huh?
I was really, really upset.
Uh-huh.
I hate to say it. And I mean, some people might be offensive, but you know, I'm being honest. I did not want to keep my, you know, uh-huh. I did not want to have a baby at that point in my life.
Sure.
Definitely did not. And I had my mind made up before I even told, you know, his dad.
Yeah.
And I came home and I was like crying and I was so upset. I was with a girlfriend. I found out I was pregnant. I was with a girlfriend who recently got pregnant and all of her friends like ditched her because she was pregnant and she couldn't drink or party anymore. So
you
were just
kind of seeing how it was.
No, I didn't even know I was pregnant at this point. Oh. I was hanging out with her because I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, and she was really upset and pregnant. I was like, well, I'll come fucking hang out with you, you know.
Yeah.
I might have a drink, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry you can't, but hell, yeah. Let's hang out, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I told her I was feeling really weird. And she was like, you should take this pregnancy test.
Oh.
I was like, I had a drink, you know, and I smoked and I was feeling pretty good. And I was like, what the fuck, you know, whatever. I'll go piss on this little stick. Fuck this stick, you know. And we were in there and I peed, left it on the counter. Totally did not think I was pregnant at all.
Sure.
Went out, smoked a cigarette, you know. I went back in the bathroom and looked at that thing and it was like, ping, positive. And I was like, whoa, are you kidding me right now? Huh? I was like, Christina, she was like, are you serious? You're kidding. I was like, no, I'm not serious. And that was like,
that was it.
That was it. That was the moment.
And so,
and I, you know, I was like, immediately, I was like, I'm not having this baby. No way. You know, I had just got a promotion at work. We,
yeah.
You know, we had just gotten to a really nice apartment. We were, you know, doing really well,
mm-hmm.
starting to save money. You know, it was wonderful. Finally got out of the hole and like settled and everything. And then I found out I was pregnant and I came home. On the way home, I was anticipating, you know, how are we going to get the money for the abortion? You know, how am I going to work like this until then? And just, you know, I'm thinking of all these ways that we can not let this happen.
Yeah.
And I walk in the door. And I mean, at the time, it was really, really sweet because I had no idea of what was to come after. But, you know, I came in and I was like, I'm fucking pregnant, you know, and before I could say anything else, he was like, really? Oh my God, this is so great. And, you know, super happy.
This is a cliche moment.
Oh my God, he was so excited. He's like, yeah. I'm going to have a family of my own. And I just, at that moment, I just fell to my knees. I just collapsed and started bawling because I could not, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would change it. I'm glad I can't go back.
So then fast forward, you had your baby and you're still with him and whatnot. And
oh yeah, things are really good.
This is the topic of my episode basically, where I'm getting at is the full circle in reference to, you know, the cliche of people getting together, having a kid.
This is a perfect example for me because things will, and I'm not saying this is for everyone, so don't get discouraged from, you know,
yeah,
if this happens to you, it doesn't necessarily have to end the way it did for me, but, you know, we both did things in our relationship that, you know, I was the mom, so I tried to play the mom part, the female role. And I mean, that doesn't necessarily work in today's society.
No.
You have to have teamwork and effort on both parts to make things work. And, you know, after we had that baby, we lost all of our, you know, all of our youth. It was gone. Like, I had just turned 21.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was pissed, you know? I was really pissed.
Yeah.
And I love my son, but I was definitely not. And I was so miserable when I was pregnant, too. So every day it was like a struggle. Like, why am I doing this to myself, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, in the end, it just became so routine. And there was
no cookie cutter, if you will.
And it was. And I got to the point where I was doing everything. And it was just expected of me because I was super mom. And, you know, I did it. I gave it my all for so long. And I got no kind of appreciation in return. Like,
yeah.
And then the controllingness of, you know, you're supposed to be the mom, you know, you shouldn't want to go out and drink with your girlfriends or whatever, you know. I had that standard I had to live up to. There was no more, you know, nothing was sexy anymore. It was all like, you know, we have a family and
yeah. And in that respect, it's almost it's super lame when you get in that situation and then you have to change your whole attitude, your whole mentality. That's not who you are, you know.
Yeah, and I mean,
as your kids growing up, you want to show them who you are, right? You don't want to show them the morph person who you are, because after you had them, you had to change this. You know what I mean?
I'm still really trying to figure that out. I'm still like scorned and hurt, and
yeah,
you know, I was in mom mode for so long, and now I have an opportunity to, you know, do Becca mode. So I'm still trying to figure out how to do that because of the relationships that I've had. It's made me have certain judgments towards things.
Yeah.
About people and.
Well, that's a human intuition, if you will. That's something that's built into humans. If something bad happens to us, or even something good happens to us, we want that experience, or we expect that experience to be the same. And 9 times out of 10, it won't be the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just won't. But we will think that it will be the same. You know, it's weird. It's a weird stigma.
Maybe
maybe this person is like that other person that I've met 2,000 miles away. It's very strange.
But I mean, even this relationship I've had, it's not just directly, it affected other relationships with my friends and, you know, people, even like you, you know, I had friends and you're like, I don't know about this person. I'm like, whatever, fuck you, I've known this person forever. You know, looking back now, when I ended that relationship, I ended relationships with other people and realized, you know, just ways they treated me and things they did and how they reacted, and they, you know, really aren't good people. You have to be really careful, especially with the people that you choose to be friends with.
Yes.
Because
you can look at the timeline of things too. You
know,
if you're friends
the
with
full
someone,
circle, you have to look at it.
Absolutely. You're totally right. You know, if you're friends with someone for 5 years and that friend has fucked you over consistently throughout that 5 years, I don't think he's a good friend. He or she's a good friend. You know
even
what I mean?
Even if it was that, like, I've had so many friends and so many people in my life. I haven't had a lot of travel experience like you have, but I've had a lot of different people come in and out of my life. And you know, I've known people for so long, especially when you have families involved, mixed families and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just because of one person's relationship can affect so many, like,
influences you a lot.
Yeah, I had people, you know, my mom's past husbands that she, you know, had for a period of time. I came close with their family. I was a kid, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then that relationship ending can have someone, you know, cut me off at such a young age, just fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, and there was nothing leading up to it. It was just over.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes you feel like crap,
that
too.
That leaves you a little, yeah, it leaves you a little jaded.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It is interesting to think about. All your interactions with someone, there is some type of circle you're putting them in. And it's how you deal with it. If you want them in your circle, you want them in your life, and your series unfolds from, you know, it's very interesting to hear your story of, like, you had a kid, you regretted having a kid, now you don't regret having a kid, and it's a beautiful story because you found your happiness in your own right, right? You lived with it, and...
I mean, I learned a lot, and I really, you know, I'm not saying I don't like being a parent, but especially now, I have these expectations. You know, the only reason why I wanted to have my baby was because of the reaction that I got. You know, and I was like, oh my gosh, maybe this is gonna be okay. Maybe I'll have help and stuff.
Sure.
And I don't wanna say I didn't have help, but you know, there's just certain things, little tiny little things that should have happened that didn't.
Yeah.
Or I felt they should have happened and they didn't.
And then you found your way to adapt with that too, which is really cool.
I did.
And props to you for sure, you know, for going through that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Kind of sucked, but better now.
The full circle.
Yeah.
And you know, that's something I wanted to touch base with too. It's like, you know, a lot of people have kids for different reasons. A lot of people don't have kids for various reasons too, including like population.
Oh,
people
yeah.
literally think about these things.
Oh like, yeah, you know, of course they do.
Poverty and this, that, and the other. It's just very interesting to get the story of how someone was born, you know?
Yeah. And I even named my son because, you know, at that point when I saw that reaction and I knew I had a life inside of me, I just wanted to do for other people because I really didn't see it as my baby. I saw it, you know, it was half mine.
Yeah.
And at the time I loved him and I didn't want to hurt him.
Yeah.
He had no family at all. Like he wasn't in contact with any of his family for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I even named because I wanted him to feel that, like, you know,
that connection,
that head of the family feeling, you
yeah.
know. I named my son after him.
Yeah. Well, it's the full circle.
Sure enough.
It really is.
The full fucking
circle. This is one of the stories of it.
Oh,
Becca's
yeah.
story.
I'm in that circle, yo.
We all have them. We all have a story, you know, and a trials and tribulations, you know, life testing you to its max because you introduced maybe someone or something in your life. And we all have the capabilities of handling it and adopting it.
Yeah, and learning.
It's the most important thing is taking away from your lessons and not letting a stigma develop, but necessarily reflecting on it. You want to reflect on your past experiences, not relive them.
Dwell,
regret. You want yeah. to reflect. Yeah, I think that about wraps up this topic.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a good one. Meaty episode. Got that meat to the bone. Thank you guys, everyone, for joining us again. Remember to follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ETACast. What is it, Becca? What's the URL?
You can't just ask me on the spot.
You're such a weird giggling. You giggle now after like a whole hour of talking.
While you were making the...
And make sure you hit us up on YouTube. That's ETACast on YouTube. Search on YouTube on there, and you can find Trust Me Have a Beard, Techotastic, on your favorite podcast apps as well.
Did
as
you
iTunes.
Beat it?
But you can't find that one on
Oh.
there. That's a video one.
Never mind.
On your favorite podcast apps, you can find the audio versions only of the podcast. So open up your favorite podcast app and type in Trust Me Have a Beard and hit that subscribe button. That'd be great. I love you very much for doing that.
Yeah, and if you do it, and a lot of people like it, and because I'm on here, I'll get such a big head and I'll pick on him all day because I'm his roommate, so yeah.
Yeah, this is gonna be the episode where everyone just explodes
boom!
On the podcast.
Becca, boom!
Thank you guys again. And thank you, Becca.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It was my pleasure.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, I did have fun. Okay. I totally didn't want to do it, but you made me. And you're right, again. You're right about everything.
Well, we all try. We
Mr.
all try.
Right to, over
we all try
here.
To be. We all try to be right to make ourselves feel better. Okay. And yeah, guys, we'll see you guys next time on ETA Cast Network, and especially Trust Me, Have a Beard. Check us out again, and remember, everyone, you got the ears, and I got the beard.
We'll
see
does.
You next time. God damn.
What?
He does.
You're just like
you gotta stroke
stroking it.
It.